Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, Rabbi Sad. So, good evening, everybody. Welcome to our Halakha group. We always ask the Baruch Shalom to give us Yeta Dishmaya. We should be able to gain, you know, from our group here, make progress, some shleimus. Really, I think the only way that a person can really grow in Ruchnius is by doing pulis, uvdis we call them. I don't claim that our group is the best derech, the best system, the only system, but we're doing, that's for sure. That we can rest assured that at least Baruch Hashem we're doing, and I hope that we shall say to Shmaya. I know that all of you have it in mind, but I'd like to remind you all the time anyway that always keep your antennas up to try to be mezaka other people to come. These uvdus that I've shared with you, really, I myself was zeichet to get from Rav Miller, Victor Miller, personally many years ago. Today he's accepted, you know, Achrei Mos Kedoshim, his popularity, and the people realize that he's an awesome source of chizik in Yerushalayim, and you know, in the Baruch Hashem, is very much become popular. These uvdas that I share with you are from him, in a time that he was like unknown, and when he became well known already, it wasn't he didn't have classes like in these uvdas. Maybe in yeshiva, his son's yeshiva, he had something. But this is something I had from him personally many, many years ago. Go back to Tavshin Yutes. That's a long time ago. A
couple of years.
Right. And it was a special thing that we had, special groups that we had when he presented these things. And most of the things that I share with you are from him, and it's something very precious that you're getting, like from Mamish firsthand from him. And, I always tell you that if a person wanted to make a Seder all of a sudden, an Eoiv or Mishlei or Koheles, whatever, you can always do it. You know, you have this forum and you can take advantage of doing it. But to have uvdus like these that we have, so if you don't have somebody that had the experience of having these vadim with him, so you just can't turn yourself on when you want, okay, let's go make a vad, like where, what, you know? And so you have to have like a source, and then also you have to have hechitimsa and people. So just saying, it's a wonderful opportunity that we have here, you know, like to... Okay, but say, again, I wish to appeal to the Olam, remind the Olam that we're not very far from Hanukkah, even though in certain ways it feels like we're light years away. That's a good pun, huh? Hanukkah, light years away. So it was unintended, but the Maisa, I'm sure in the course of Hanukkah that you had some inspiration, some thoughts, some realizations, and they're precious. They're precious, and it's chaval that you don't preserve them. So I just want to make a suggestion, Eitz Teiva Kamash Malon, that that calls man that you still can pickle it. You still can, it's still accessible in your memory. So you should. Do yourself a favor, everybody say, and sit down, you know, for a few minutes every day, this tikkuf in this period, and try to think back to Hanukkah, and try to recall these different thoughts that occurred to you that are inspiration, chizik, and write it down. It's much more valuable than you read, than you can imagine. Very, very, something very chashiv, very special, and it's not so pashut. But it doesn't, you know, that you're going to always remember it, and you'll be able to always access it. So sit down for a few minutes every day, try to recall, you know, these precious thoughts. back to our avodah, Rabbi Say. Back to our avodah. The last period, basically, we've been working on tefillah. Before Hanukkah, you know, we were trying to crystallize some exercise that we can do to help us with our concentration, right? And now after Hanukkah, we've had two of this after Hanukkah, right, on tefillah. But the main purpose of these uvdis that we suggested is that we're trying to open up the kivun, open up the direction of the area of tefillah, which is almost completely forgotten today by the opinion of private tefillahs that we say during the course of the day. And this is one of the greatest gifts that Hashem has given us, you know, in the Yisoid, in the area of tefillah. Like, we know we're accustomed to the conventional tefillahs that we daven every day, Shachris, Menachem Maariv, but this is also a big part of the whole Avodas HaTefillah. And it was always part of Klal Yisrael. It's part of the mindset of Klal Yisrael, the mentality, the way of life. It was a way of life. Now, I'm sure that you all know, you don't need me, you know, to introduce you that such a thing as private tefillahs. Like, we all know about it, that I think they call it the foxhole, you know, syndrome, that when a person is in a foxhole, a soldier in battle digs a hole and jumps in, the bombs are falling, so it's everybody becomes religious in the foxhole, right? So everybody knows that we're misbal, you know, like when a person finds themselves in the mokum sakana, private tefillahs. But that's not what we're talking about. Here we're talking about that different things arise during the course of the day, different issues that you want to have hatzlacha in. Whether it's important or not important is irrelevant, but you want to have hatzlacha in. So, because you want to have hatzlacha, and you know that hatzlacha comes from Hashem, so it only makes sense that you should ask Hashem for the hatzlacha. One of the arguments connected it is that people say that, like, is that right to appeal to the heavenly tribunals, you know, to ask for, because you want to make a taxi, you know, like a petty little thing, come to Hashem, please give me a taxi. I can't even say it with my mouth, you know. If you want to have some big thing, awesome thing, okay, like save my life in the foxhole, but for my little petty things that I want to have during the day, is that right to appeal to the heavenly tribunal that you should have it? The answer is, basically, if you want it, you want it. So that's, where do you expect to get it from? Whether it's important or not important, you would like to get some, you know, butterscotch ice cream with hot fudge on top with coconut sprinkles. That's what you like. Well, if you like it, you want it, if it's important to you, you will hope you get it. So the only place you can get it from Hashem. You say, well, that's completely absurd, ridiculous. I'm going to say, Hashem, please give me, you know, butterscotch ice cream with, you know, hot fudge and coconut sprinkles. It sounds ridiculous to ask Hashem for it. But he wants it very much. But I wouldn't have the audacity to ask Hashem, you know, for it. But that doesn't make any sense. So don't want it, forget it. But if you want it, so you want to say, oh, but Rafa is Kashem, so where do you think you're going to get it? That's already, you're boarding on kfir over here already. You don't want to bother Hashem, but you want it, so where do you think you're going to get it without Hashem? So you want to get it from Hashem, but you don't want to bother him to ask him. Doesn't make any sense, but say, and many of us think along those lines.
can't one just be mevater, basically say, okay, I really would like it, but you know what? I'm just mevater.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
I'm mevater on it, because if I'm going to ask Hashem for something, I might as well only ask him for something substantial.
100%, that's exactly what I'm saying. In other words, you have a choice, be mevat, that's what I mean. So forget it. But he's saying, no, I want it very much, but I don't want to ask Hashem for it, because it's not nice to bother Hashem for such little petty things. But I certainly want it. So he wants it, but he doesn't want to, he doesn't think it's right to ask Hashem for it. So where do you think you're going to get it from? If you really believe that you're going to get it from Hashem, it doesn't make any sense, right? But I say the alternative could be, so don't want it. Good, okay. Like you say, mevata on it. But if you want it, you want it very much. But when Rav Miller gave us this uvda, you know, way back in the 1950s, so like he gave a mashal, even a ball game, even a, you know, a sports game, that was his example. He said, you know, if a person is playing for exercise, which, you know, we should, so then of course it doesn't make any difference who wins. But if you're playing because you really want to win. So even for a ball game, for a sports game, you should be mispal. As absurd as it sounds, but if, so who tells you want to win? Have fun and have your exercises. I mean, you could be mispal that you should, which is also advisable, that he wants that you should have the proper health benefit from the game. That's also you know, a good feeler. Because you're going to play ball now for the sake of exercises, so that's perfectly legal and understandable and advisable that you hear Rotzel Mufanecha, Hashem Elokeinu Neshitainli, Hatzlocha Minha, you know, the Shekabel Hatoeles, you know, Hanochon, you know, from the game. And Shelly, you know, she Yizake, you know, as goofy the Brius Aguf, B'toch Kol Klai Yisrael. You know, that's a good feeling, right? If you just that you should have health in the game, but if you really, really want to win the game, maybe it's a bacha, you know, a single guy who wants to impress some young lady, you know, of his sports feats, right? So whatever his reason is, but if he really wants to win, so then be mispalvered that. Say, well, come on, Rabbi Dolinsky, don't get completely ridiculous, absurd about this, that you mean to say you should be mispalved to Hashem, that you should win the game? Well, if you really want to win, that was my Rebbe's example, Rebbe Miller's example. He gave that example. He said that as ridiculous as it sounds, but if that means something to you, so be mispal for it. Either, like Baruch says here, be mevata, say it's not important, but if you still insist that it's important to you, whatever for whatever reason, so then you should be mispal for it. You want to make the deal. You want to get the customers who want to take you on to hire you to do the work. You be mispal, right? We said last week you want to be matzlich with your work. You want to make sure they bring the chaimer, the materials. You know, we don't want any disappointments that they don't show up with the, you know, with the goods. You know that you could do your work. So you mispal, right? Whatever you people do in the course of the day, you want to have hatzlacha with it. But there's no tightness on you, but because the way the world is today, they don't think of it, you know. But if you think of it, whatever you do, you know, however you preoccupy yourself, if you occupy yourself with learning, so you say a tefillah for hatzlacha with learning. That's the Reb Chana Bar Akana, the tefillah, you know, that you should be actually learning. And whatever else you do during the course of the day, so I probably wouldn't be a wrong guess that most of us don't use this, it doesn't even occur to use tefillah for just things like that, you know, business deals and business meetings, you know, all kinds of things that you have. Like whoever thinks that, you know, okay, let's say a fool that you would think of fool, your wife is going to the hospital to give birth to a baby. Even then people don't think about it, but okay, maybe, you know. But you're having some business deal, you're having, you know, a luncheon with a couple of, you know, executives that you want to swing some deal. So whoever thinks that before you go into the luncheon, you should stop to say a little tefillah to yourself, you know, like to Rabbi Shalom, that you should be, give you hatzlacha with the meeting, you know.
Parking spot at the Mirkatz.
100%. That's like for sure. That goes into Hatzachanas Nefashis. you know, whatever it is, you know, even if you're going to talk to somebody, you want to talk to one of your children, have a discussion with your kids about something, you know, a man-to-man talk with your daughter, you want to speak to her about something, and you want to have a slacha with the talk that she should listen to you and they should be put the right words in your mouth, right? All these things, even if you want to take your kid out for a walk or give him a good time, right? So even that, you know, well, what's there for that? That's very important because why are you taking them out for an outing? Because you want to give them a good feeling, right? You show them that you care for them and you want to spend time for them. So that's very important, extremely important. Who would ever think that you're taking out the kid for an outing, you know, for a picnic or whatever, you know, spending some hours with them to show them, you know, you feel that they need to feel that the father thinks about them and cares about them. So what's there to be misspelled for that? Oh, there's a lot, a tremendous amount that you want to do this batzlocha, that whatever the matara, the purpose of this rendezvous that you have with your child, you're investing your time and effort, you're taking off the afternoon, whatever it is, but, you know, to give them that good feeling, you feel that they need it or something. So doesn't it make sense? That's very important, extremely important, maybe more important than a business deal, you know, $500,000 business deal. Maybe this is more important, that you should have had tzlacha, that your kid should enjoy it, and whatever you're doing it for, you know, that should be a success. Hashem should put the right words in your mouth to, you know, to make them feel good. You shouldn't sound corny, you know, like, you know, out of style, you know, old-fashioned. That the kid should, you know, enjoy relating with you, right? There's a lot to be misspelled for such a thing like this, right? Or, you know, sometimes you want to have a discussion with your wife, or you know, coming home, and sometimes, like Chas v'Shalom, your wife can be a little bit upset about something, and you want to be misspelled, that you shouldn't yourself lose your calm either, right? That's also a tremendous thing to be misspelled for, that you know that sometimes in the past you come home and there's this tension or something, and people say the wrong things in the wrong way, and a person, you know, loses their calm, you know, so that's surely something to be responsible for. See, before you walk into the house, you say, "I feel Hashem that He should, you know, give you the strength, you know, to be able to cope with different mysteriousness, you know, in chaos, and that you should be able to control yourself." That's surely something. But I'm sure that doesn't occur to people that this is the kind of thing to be responsible for, right? So when you think about it, there's infinite things, situations during the course of the day. And I don't have a sophiger by saying, even though I didn't do research, historical research, that I mean, this I mentioned to you, that for sure our forefathers lived this way. But so somebody asked me a question in one of these groups. They said, so when it boils down to it, the way I'm talking, so you should be spell for everything. Anything you do at all, you want to have a slacha with, right? So what's the limit then? There's nothing petty, because whatever you're doing, you want to have a slacha, even if something small and petty. So the answer to that, I think, is that it's absolutely correct, except that I believe very strongly that all our great big tzaddikim, great kubbalim, great rabbis, they lived that way, that constantly during the day, whatever they wanted, they were misspelled for everything, Taka. But what about us? So we're not holding that madrega. like the purpose of these uvdas is, on the contrary, to break us in. You know, that's what we do three times a day. You know, and with the hope that someday we'll increase it till it becomes like you do it, you know, more often in the course of the day. But just like, you know, technically speaking, whenever you say the Shem, right, Rebbe, whenever you say the Shem Hashem in davening, you know, Yud Kei Vav Kei, you're supposed to think Ko Yehovah Yeh Adon HaKol, right? So every Shem you're supposed to think that. So everybody say, I don't want it to sound discouraging, but if you made it, okay, good, Mordechai, you sold us. Tomorrow morning, after davening, you know, we start davening, every shame we're going to think we'll be mechavim. I unfortunately, we probably wouldn't be off the beam if I'd say that the person that does that would probably end up in a, you know, maybe in a, you know, a mental institution, Rahmanistan, you know, if he did every single shame, you know, starting tomorrow morning, because a person can have a nervous breakdown, you know, every single shame, every time he says a shame, you know, to think this. But the way to do it is just to, you know, to do a certain amount of shameless, and then as the time goes on, you increase. At the same time, I would say, if you ask me, the great tzaddikim, I'm sure they do it, everyone. Sure they do, everyone. Probably very big tzaddikim. But, you know, it took them time to work that up. The same thing with this. If you ask me, is it technically correct to misbal for everything, I would say yes, but I wouldn't suggest doing it, you know, because we first do three times a day, you know, and then eventually you can do more. But I would probably be making a right guess to say, in Echanami, a very big tzaddikim, a very big tzaddik, or, you know, big tamachochim, big mekubal, that there are people that do this taka the whole day. You know, every time that they do something, so they say a small tefillah to Hashem, be matzliach. I would take an educated guess and say in Echanami, right? But is that for us? I would say not, right? The way to do it is like what we're doing is to make a haschalah with three, and then halavai they should be able to hold it with three and eventually build it up, if we say. Okay. I mean, I'm elaborating again on this thing because just it's important that we get the concept into our heads, the whole idea of these private tefillahs. So that was 2 weeks ago. We emphasized davening for ourselves. And last week, if you remember, I suggested again, but the emphasis was misbalah for other people. Right? Do you remember that, Rabbi Say? That, in other words, you see somebody walking with crutches. So instead of going, oh, chaval, he danced too much of a chasna, and now he's... So instead of just chaval, you should pay a tefillah for him, right? Or, you know, a bacha needs a shidduch. Or, you know, somebody's looking for an apartment and he can't find an apartment. You know, all things for the nochach, you know. Now, I didn't mean now that you shouldn't be misbal for yourself, but as far as the uvda is concerned, training ourselves, so we want to give an uvda last week, mainly to be misbal for other people, Abishai. This week, with your permission, I would like to once again go on with this uvda, except, Abishai, I want to suggest that we should use it now. Klal Yisrael is going through a very, very difficult period now, especially now that all kinds of tzoros, which I say over often, you know, in our mesibus that we have in the house, that Baba Sali, Abu Chatzera, was able to magdir it. He said that there's two kinds of holocausts. One kind is that the whole Klal Yisrael is suffering together from something. Then there's another kind of holocaust that it's a holocaust that you call it. It's a tzorah diyochid that's suffered by the rabbin. An explanation for that, what he meant is that, let's say, if you look through the houses of Klal Yisrael, so things look basically normal and stable. When you look closely, this house, they you know, they need money situation. The next house, they have money, but there's a shalom bias problem. the next house to have shalom bayis, to have money, but Rahman's son, there's a child that Rahman's son that's lo alechem, that's not well, we say. So it looks like you know, when you look at the whole neighborhood, you know, it doesn't look so bad, because you don't see, like, people don't have money, you don't have machla, you don't have this, because everything is functioning, moving. But you know, that's the macro, the macro. But you look at the micro, you look down individually into the house, you see closely, they have this problem, but everything else is fine, you know. And they look at the next house, they're having a different problem, but everything else is fine. So it looks like a time of plentifulness, and there is a lot of plentifulness, Baruch Hashem, a lot of bracha that we do have. But at the same time, there is tzorah, we say, you know, Rachman Islan, you know, with machlis. One of my talmidim runs an organization that they have a support system for Rachman Islan families that the children are stricken with yana machla. You know, so it's an organization that helps the whole family deal with it and cope with it and advises them. And so he told me the other day, they have hundreds of families here in Eretz Israel, hundreds and hundreds of families, Rachman Islan. Each family, you know, has a child with Yana Machla. You know, Hashem Yirachem, everybody say. And that's just the children, but don't forget the adults, and then you have heart disease, and you have all kinds of other things that we say, Hashem Yirachem, you know, and that's just one thing. Then you have the automobile tragedies, you know, the crashes, Hashem Yirachem, the accidents, the cars, and the soldiers, Rachman Islan, tragedies with soldiers, you know. Rachman Islan, we say, there's so many, and then you have Shalom Bayis, that another area, so many families, there's no Shalom Bayis, Hashem Yirachem, they're suffering, and so many of them end up in divorce, and the ones that don't end up in divorce, just the bickering and the lack of Shalom Bayis. And then you have, which I put into this category, you know, like you have the divorces and the almanas and almanim, and then you have Rachmanis, and so many boys and girls that are unmarried, don't have shidduchim. They say there are thousands of girls out there that don't have shidduchim, we say. And don't forget, you have children going off the derech, Hashem Yirachem. That's in epidemic proportions, Hashem Yirachem. And then b'chal, the whole matzav of Yiddishkeit, that's probably the worst of all the tragedies, God l'machtir l'horgoy, that there are millions of Yidden around that don't even know they're Jewish, they don't know anything about Yiddishkeit, probably millions, you know, and each one is a tragedy. The forums say that when it comes down to it, every Yid has within him, you know, they have to give their life for Shema Yisrael Hashem Echad, for the Achdus Hashem. You know, every Yid has within him, when it comes down to it, would give his life, you know, for Hashem Echad, Hashem Echad. Basically, living in a time here, people never heard of Shema Yisrael, give their life for it. I saw not long ago, they made a seker in this country of the high school children, Rachman Islan, that what a high percentage, they never heard the sentence, Shema Yisrael, whether they're giving their life or not for it. Maybe they know Arabic, you know, poems from the Quran or something, but the Shema Yisrael, they don't know how many, you know, kids in the high schools here, you know, from the Freie High School, that they never heard Shema Yisrael. You know, we have to be mispal for them. That Hashem should help them, and they should, you know. So, basically, I'd like to suggest this week, with your permission, the Uvda L'Maisa is that the main fault we should do. All three of them, once a day we should try to misspell, you know, for ourselves, and once for, like, somebody we know is sick or needs a shidduch. And then the main uvda for this week is to be misspell for Klal Yisrael. And also, everybody say, don't forget for Mashiach. You know, Mashiach was something was always on the mind of Klal Yisrael as the foremost, you know, thought. You know, it was in the mouths of our forefathers all the time. They used to say, "Zom Levin Mashiach, we should live in Mashiach." It was something that was hoped for and spoke about, and you don't hear it anymore. You don't hear it anymore. Might be, I don't want to go to politics of this, you know, certain Hasidic groups, like they made a whole thing about it, you know, so some people shy away because they don't want to be considered, you know, oh, Mashiach, oh, I didn't know you were a Hasid, you know. Sometimes when I dive in with a little bit loud, spyless, and you say, oh, well, a Sion, and we say, you were someone that should, this girl was Moshe Mashiach, and I say it a little bit loud, so like people look at me, hey, what's going on? Who are you? Know, are you, you know, a member of a Hasidic? You say the word Mashiach, so, I'm not, you know, criticizing, but I'm just saying that I think that one of the reasons people shy away from it is because, you know, they don't want to be labeled as, you know, associated with different groups. Mashiach, they say, how much we have to, you know, you don't think about it. It used to be a major thing on the minds and the lips of Klai Yisrael, they say. So, you know, I believe very strongly that if we all thought about it and wanted it and said it, he would come, Rabbi Yisai. The Chafetz Chaim says it, but you see that Hashem gives us whenever we want to meet somebody, usually meet him, right? So I'm thinking if everybody wanted to meet Mashiach, so he'd come, Rabbi Yisai. Okay, so that's the third of the Rabbi Yisai. He writes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should listen to our tefillahs and our yearnings, and he should listen to it. He should listen to it and fulfill all our retainers and yearnings, and we should see Yeshua's nechamos for ourselves and all Klal Yisrael. Rabbi Yisai, you also have a nice week, a good week. Rabbi Yisai, bring your friends. Rabbi Yisai. Okay, well, Moshe, I wanted to be in touch with you, you know, about your thing.
We have right now.